morning, this is Jeb Dubot, author of The Life Engineered and A God in the Shed, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Too Much Scrolling for August 29th, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflo.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. August 29th. It's going to be September, like tomorrow, 2 days from now.
It's going to be September. Now.
It's September already.
That's right. Summer's almost over.
September, for me, is the celebration
college football
of the no
the NFL starts.
The most important thing that has ever happened in my life, The invention of the internet.
Oh,
I celebrate this on September 2nd.
This internet thing, Steve,
it's going to take off.
Tell me about it.
It's going to take off, this internet thing. They have it on computers now.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah. No, all right. So there's actually some discrepancy
on
when we should celebrate the birth of the internet, Steve.
Well, Christmas is in December for some reason. So we're going to celebrate the birth of the internet when we want to. And September 2nd is the day for me. That's the day that historically two computers were connected together with a network, and the first layer of what we can do with information was put together.
All right, so that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
We could also celebrate in April 7th, because in April 7th, 1969, mm-hmm. we also had an event happen.
Yeah, there was some paperwork filed. They filed some paperwork that was the idea of what they could do.
Now, Internet Day mm-hmm. is October 29th.
Yeah, that's the day that the first significant moving of data from UCLA to Stanford happened.
And you also could celebrate January 1st.
1983. That's when we switched to the TCP/IP. The Internet Protocol was born in 1983.
But we can celebrate four times a year, Steve.
Absolutely. The internet is amazing. The fact that we have this internet 48 years later, after that paperwork was filed, when we now have the ability to move data to get information from around the world, is amazing.
It's changed how your brain works.
Yes.
And how you absorb knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to keep the knowledge in your brain, or can you just need to have access to it?
That is the question I ask my students all the time. Are you smarter than I was when I was your age because you have access to this knowledge? Or are you not smarter than I was because you don't need to know trivial things? You have access to all of that trivial information.
Three times this week, I went to the store looking for something, and I could not figure out what it was. And it dawned on me, oh, I've got a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Go on the internet and look up one. I needed a spice. I had never heard of this spice.
Oh.
I didn't even know where it would be. I knew where spices would be, and I didn't even know this was a spice, by the way, at the time. I just knew it said, the recipe said I needed
some
mace.
Word that you
M-A-C-E.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and I went on the internet and found out it was a spice.
Okay.
Which meant I could go over to the spice area and I could pull it out. The other was a candy my daughter had asked me to look up, and I had no idea. I said, well, is it a chocolate? And she was like, no. Like, as I'm looking, like a 13-year-old would look at you, like a dad. And so I went to the store, and I ended up looking it up on my phone so I could find out what it was so I could go get it. And the other was on how to fix something that I needed to fix, and thank God for YouTube. It's changed how we
It has changed get information. Our day. It has changed everything about our day, and the future of all of this internet stuff that we're celebrating is limitless.
I think one day they'll have these recordings that you can just press play on your phone, and they'll just start when you're ready for them.
And just listen to these guys in some guy's basement blabber on about something. Welcome to the wonderful world of podcasting.
Down, get my film at 11.
brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. I have gotten the chance to see the latest, most important version of The Tick.
Now, this is on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
So if you have a Fire Stick or any ability to get to Amazon Prime.
Amazon.TooMuchScrolling.com.
You can watch this too.
Yes. This is 6 episodes. It is a sitcom. It is a very silly
superhero
comedy. Those of you who didn't watch The Tick the first time when it was a cartoon, or the second time when Patrick Warburton was in a suit running around on Fox as The Tick, this one...
Kronk.
This one is really good. It is really entertaining. It's only 6 episodes. It's only 3 hours. They came out on Friday. I've watched all of them.
and the current version... The gentleman plays sort of an Adam West character.
The Tick in general is an Adam West character. This is definitely a satire on the superhero, and the Adam West character is definitely built into the character of the Tick. But Peter Serafinowicz is so good at being the Tick here. I forgot about Patrick Warburton. I was able to forget about the definitive Tick and go with this guy and his ability to say things in a way that is so fun and so interesting. Again, back to Adam West, he calls his sidekick Chum and has this way of speaking that is definitely from there.
Musing and authoritative.
Yes. This is so much fun. Not for families.
Not a family movie.
This is not a family TV show. Okay. There's a lot of naughty words. There's no gore to it. There's no nudity to it. But boy, oh boy, do they throw around the naughty words in the right situations. This is so much fun. I encourage you to go and watch 3 hours of this TV show.
Now, this is not the only thing you saw this week.
Yeah, the wife was watching a movie, and I came home, and I sat down and watched it with her. This is The Pursuit of Happiness. This is from 2006. This is Will Smith, a real-life story of a man who is struggling in America, struggling to make ends meet. The things that happen in your life that make it very difficult to get your life put together.
How is this going to relate to the average person in America, Steve?
The average person in America can definitely relate to this story in 2017. There's a lot of struggle that's happening in 2017 financially in the United States. This is from 2006, a wonderful, heartfelt story about perseverance, mm-hmm. about getting it done, about how we can pull ourselves together, find a way, and be successful. I really love this movie. I love Will Smith. I'm a huge fan of Will Smith.
Will Smith is very much a person that we look to, very similar to like a Tom Hanks person.
A Tom Hanks kind of actor.
Everyday Joe. And
yeah, maybe not the best actor on the block, maybe not the Tom Hanks level of acting, mm-hmm. but you really relate to Will Smith's characters in most cases. And in this one, he's got his son Jaden, 5-year-old Jaden Smith, alongside. And Jaden's a really good actor too. He is adorable at age 5, like most of us were. I don't know what happened. But in this movie, Jaden is pretty spectacular in his acting. I can see why he's had a great career over the last 11 years after this one. You sat down and watched a boxing match.
We did the pay-per-view. My neighbor did.
Like, this was big.
Oh, it is. It is. This is Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor.
Oh, yeah.
And this was their big match. This is Floyd Mayweather was 49-0. He had not fought for a couple years.
Uh-huh.
And he took on the Ultimate Fighting UFC,
yeah,
champion, who actually had to learn how to box.
Had to unlearn all of his training from that other sort of fighting, sure. That Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Mixed martial arts. All right. So anyway, we had a little get-together.
Nice.
And we watched it. Very social. And there was a whole bunch of boxing beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a who's who of everybody in the audience. You could just look out there and go, oh, that I know that person. I know that
really?
Person. Oh, it's a big fight.
This was a big thing. This was a national big thing.
International.
It's an international big thing.
It is. Conor McGregor is from Ireland. And so that played part of it.
Huh.
They went 10 rounds. You know, if you would have asked me 14, 15 years ago if I had interest in watching boxing, I would say, no, not really.
And you don't watch the UFC now?
I don't.
Okay.
I find it just not my cup of tea.
Sure.
This though, when I got the phone call saying, hey, I'm going to rent it, come over and we'll cook hamburgers and have some fun. It was awesome. I've been to a number of live boxing events here in Chicago because a buddy of mine wanted to create basically some social events for some guys.
Like a fight club?
Yeah, fight club. Exactly. We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about that.
Don't talk about it, Steve. But anyway, I've seen a bunch of live ones. My favorites certainly are not the heavyweights. They are the lighter guys.
Okay.
And I understand the sport now. I understand, you know, the people who are part of it. Sounds like McGregor was homeless 5 years ago.
Wow.
Well, his paycheck was $30 million for this.
Wow.
Mayweather got over $100 million, and there's arguments that he could get up to $300 million for this fight.
That's huge.
So this is a big deal for these people. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can see the reason why they did it. It was $99.
$99 for the pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so that's some big money.
That's how do you get to
how do you get over to pay all these guys? Yeah.
Well, that tells you the size of these types of events. I enjoyed it. There'll be other ones that will come up, and you can decide if those are things are for you or not.
And there's that social aspect, going to somebody else's house, being a part of that community, and sitting and having a moment together watching this thing.
Sure, and it's not something you see every day. It is kind of thuggish and brutish, mm-hmm. But there's something very primordial about this that you can watch. You've got to be a special type of person in a situation that boxing appeals to you. I do have a colleague of mine who does boxing, but most of the time these are kids who are in struggling situations. They need some discipline. They need a place to go. They basically find family, and they push themselves in a way that most of us are not willing to dedicate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a unique fighting experience. Once again, you had a boxer versus a person who fights mixed martial arts. So there was two different fighting styles, but they both had to agree on boxing. Went 10 rounds. This was enjoyable.
Opening this week, there is the 40th anniversary of the Close Encounters of the Third Kind, 1977's number 2 film, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Steve, I've got a big bowl of mashed potatoes right here in front of me.
Important. This means something. Every time the wife and I have mashed potatoes, every time I turn to her and I go, honey, this is important. This means something.
I'm going to make a big Devil's Tower in the living room.
My wife has been to Devil's Tower. And when I found that out about her when we were dating, I was like, you've been to Devil's Tower? That's from a movie. And she went, a movie? What movie? I said, here.
Let's have some mashed potatoes.
You've got 25 years of watching movies in front of you, honey. 1977, number 2 movie of that year.
What was number 1, Steve?
Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars.
Oh, well,
what a year.
It couldn't beat Star Wars, could it?
No.
John Williams certainly had a banner year that year.
Yes.
He did the soundtrack for both Star Wars and Close Encounters.
Yes, he did. And Steven Spielberg, this is, you know, the beginning of Steven Spielberg's meteoric rise. He has been doing such great work. We look forward to Ready Player One.
Now, this is a presentation of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's been a lot of different versions of this.
Yes, I've seen all of them.
Have you? Well, the original one, it kind of leaves us ambiguity would be a good way of describing that.
That's right.
We didn't know what happened at the end. The ship arrives and the movie ends. But
spoilers.
Oh my goodness. Well, it's
40 years old. I think we can spoil this movie.
Well, when they represented the movie, they have people arriving, mm-hmm. who were you know, pilots and stuff from the 40s.
Abductees from the past. I want to make so many Twin Peaks references right now, but I'm going to stare at you while you're talking about this and not make any references to Owls or any Project Blue Book. Go on.
And then, you know, Dreyfus has to decide whether he's going to go visit.
Richard Dreyfus did such a great job in this role. You believe Richard Dreyfus as a character in this. What would you do in this situation? It's probably very similar to what Richard Dreyfus does.
Probably what Kate McKinnon would do.
Yes. to Saturday Night Live that you don't watch, but you reference all the time of the abductees explaining their
experiences. It was a beautiful light, Steve. It was a beautiful light.
Go to our show notes and click on this YouTube link that he's put in there. This is a very funny sketch where Kate McKinnon is doing her best to crack up everybody on the set, and she succeeds. I think she made some people cry this day. So funny. I love Close Encounters.
So beautiful.
I've only bought, I think, two different versions of this, one on VHS and one on DVD. I love
Back
this movie.
In the old days, when I bought my first VCR, which was a top-of-the-line VCR, the first movie was Jurassic Park that I ended up purchasing.
Because you love Jurassic Park. That's one of your favorites.
I did. It's a fantastic for showing all the things that your television and your VCR at the time could do. Now, the one of the next ones I got was Close Encounters. So this was right there behind it. And anyway, this is a great film. This is represented. But Steve, we've got new stuff that's coming out.
There
What's
are
new?
Other new movies opening this week. The first one is I Do Until I Don't.
This is looks like generations of men and women are going to have
relationships.
Their challenges.
Oh, relationships and their foibles. This is Ed Helms, the actual Ed Helms, not the Ed Helms of the Northwest suburbs. This is the actual Ed Helms. It's an ensemble comedy. We've seen this movie before. You know, all of these people with different
the
relationships.
The wife wants to get pregnant.
Yeah.
And things are just not as exciting as they once were.
This is the take your girlfriend to a movie. This is the take your new wife to a movie for the week.
We've got the older couple who are just sort of, they're revisiting their why they loved each other or why they're having challenges.
Yeah.
We've got the young couple that just cannot get enough of each other. And we've got Ed Helms, who's got a duty to do.
Right.
And the wife is going to make it not as fun as it used to be.
That's right. Speaking of not as fun as it used to be, there's a sequel coming out. The sequel to the movie Goon from 2011 is called Goon, Last of the Enforcers. This is a hockey, funny, silly comedy.
And this is the starring the gentleman from American Pie.
Yeah, this is Sean William Scott being his Sean William Scottiest. There's also T.J. Miller in this one, because of course T.J. Miller is in it.
And you know, well, let's just say that it may not be Slapshot, but it may be close enough to it to enjoy it.
It is certainly in that same vein, those silly slapstick hockey movies.
For those who are not familiar, in the old days, a hockey team would have a goon, and the goon would go around. He was the enforcer.
That's right.
The fighter. They would put him in just to start fights.
Just to make something happen. Right. There is The Viceroy's House. This is the very, very British India movie of the week, where you can learn all about Indian independence from the British.
Well, the deal of this is one, as Americans, we should probably know more about this.
True.
The second part about it, because it did have an impact on the founding of our country. The other part about it is, at some point, we got to have some intellectual stimulation. This looks like the more intellectual pick of the week. Sometimes the wife or the husband demands a little bit more.
Yeah. Then we've got the way too real for movie. This is called Love, Sonia. It is the dramatization about the world of international sex trafficking. This is a real problem in our world right now.
So Demi Moore is going to be one of the stars of this film. This is to shock you for the week.
Yes.
And this looks like a very interesting movie. Interesting, we couldn't find a trailer for this.
I've looked as hard as I could. I could not find a trailer for this movie. That doesn't necessarily tell us anything, but this will be a story, I think, that will resonate, because this is a problem in our world.
Well, it is part of the world. There's still slaves in our world. So most of us don't put that in the top of our thoughts. But anyway, this is something that we need to be conscious of. Obviously, a movie is a good way of bringing that to light.
And interesting, it stars two of the child actors from the movie Lion. Those two boys were adorable in the movie Lion, and they're working together here. I think they're going to be the Coreys of India. Corey Haim, Corey Feldman. of India.
Oh, well, there you go. How do you describe them? There you go.
They're working together. They worked so well together in the last movie. I'm sure that's going to be great.
We've got a children's film that's coming out.
And when you say children's film, this is truly one of those children's films. Not a family movie like, oh, let's go see Cars. Let's go see Toy Story. This one's called Animal Crackers. It's an animated tale about a struggling circus. I think circuses are struggling right now.
So Danny DeVito, starring Big Fish, he was the gentleman who ran the circus.
Now he's a clown.
Now he's a clown in the circus.
And it looks adorable.
He stretched himself.
Hey, it's Danny DeVito. And when you hear Danny DeVito's voice, you just know it's Danny DeVito.
He's got a great voice.
Yeah, he certainly does.
In fact, there was a couple stories on Reddit this week that were very touching. When he was working, DeVito worked on Matilda. Mm-hmm. The great film.
That is one of my favorites.
Well, the young lady who was the star, I think her mother passed away during that time. Anyway, she wrote an article or a note about how touching DeVito was as far as bringing, in fact, the actors, they were bringing her along with their families and, you know, obviously trying to normalize her life as much as you can with a parent passing away that young an age. And also having this job you've got to do. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't it. Right underneath that over in Reddit, there was a gentleman who wrote a story about meeting DeVito. He didn't know he was DeVito at the time. But anyway, he was really thinking about committing suicide. He was in school. Things were not going well. He was at the ski lift, interestingly enough, sitting next to what turned out to be DeVito. As they were going up, he's talking about all the hardships he was going through because DeVito looked over and said, "You don't look so good. What's going on?" And the guy started talking. By the time they got to the top of the ski lift, the gentleman said, "At that point, I knew that that was not the path I was going to take. And I didn't know it was Danny DeVito until his wife came over and greeted him. And at that point, I was like, oh, wow." So anyway, there's all sorts of stories where actors and people who are have prominent positions have made dramatic differences in other people's lives. The gentleman said, he goes, I've always wished to meet Danny DeVito to thank him for that moment. Underneath that, Arnold Schwarzenegger responded and said, well, I will pass the story on to him.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't Reddit an interesting community?
What's beautiful about it is that you really are touching people from around the world.
The internet, man.
The internet can be used for good, and there the internet can be used for bad. This is part that's the good part.
And we can form all sorts of communities and talk about what in the world is happening in Twin Peaks.
All right, so the ending is this week.
Yes, on Sunday, there is the 2-hour finale of Twin Peaks The Return, the end of the 18-hour journey that we've been on for 4 months now.
So I'm going to go ahead and go on a limb here that Steve will end this along with Mark Brett and all the other people who follow it.
I think we should get them all on the air and talk about it on the show here.
Well, they probably still won't know what's going on.
I hope so. God, I hope so.
You hope they won't know what's going on?
No, I hope that there will be some resolution. Here's the thing. Kyle MacLachlan, the guy who plays Agent Cooper in Twin Peaks, has said publicly that he has read the entire script. He is the guy who knows it all does make sense in the end. He has said this publicly. So I have high hopes that after Sunday, after 18 hours of the most beautiful, artistic, confusing, weird show, it will all make sense.
It will all be one.
Oh, man. Oh, man. If I could talk about Twin Peaks to you right now, I would say so many things, but you have no idea what I'm talking about. And I'm not sure I know what I'm talking about. This has been a beautiful ride, and it's ending on Sunday.
Book it.
Brings us to our book of the week. And boy, you...
Death, Steve. Death.
You find some interesting books to read. You found a book called Get Well Soon. And at that point, I stopped reading the title and I went, oh, what a lovely title. No, there's a subtitle. History's Worst Plagues and the Heroes Who Fought Them. You read a book all about mass death in history.
That's something uplifting, Steve. Something uplifting.
2017.
This is by Jennifer. That's right. This is for Jennifer Wright.
Jennifer Wright. Yeah.
Now, Jennifer Wright, I'm going to go down. She's written three books, and all three of them look like they're interesting. I may read another one because she is such a witty writer. But anyway, she said, look, this is the only job I can legally do in bed in my underwear and still have no practical skills. So she is a very witty writer.
It's funny.
This was released back in February of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a witty, fun book about something that certainly has historical value,
uh-huh.
but you know, most of us choose to avoid. I mean, most of us.
Most of us would have tried to avoid the plague as much as the plague.
Well, these are multiple plagues, so it's yes. not just looking at. These are looking at historically things that happen.
Okay.
So we do get the bubonic plague mm-hmm. at this time. I think 30% of
European population died.
So, I mean, that is
suddenly
just, that's just amazing. So you'd have these cities that just would kind of empty out
mm-hmm.
and they didn't know what was going on. Eventually they determined burning the bedding and the people and stuff like that. Basically mm-hmm. cleaning it up was a way to get us out, but it took a long time to get yep. to that point.
Yep.
When I was a kid, I think it was fifth, sixth grade,
mm-hmm.
I wrote a number of reports on the bubonic plague. Don't ask me why.
It's fascinating.
But it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We eventually move up to other things. I mean, we had obviously a very big plague in the Americas before the Europeans arrived, or mm-hmm. maybe the Europeans brought it with them.
Maybe.
But there was at some point, maybe up to, for estimating, up to 90% of the population died.
The Native Americans.
Could you imagine yeah. living in your city, you know, and then all of a sudden, 10% of the people are left.
That's tragic.
I mean, that's just an amazing kind of fact.
Mm-hmm.
We learned a little bit about World War One, about the basically there was a disease that was ripping through the camps of these soldiers, and they were bringing it back to their hometowns, and just masses and masses of people. If I remember correctly, maybe as many people who died in World War One also died in these camps.
An equal number.
I could be off on that, so don't quote me on that. But my point is that you're learning about these, mm-hmm. and you're learning about how we deal with them. The most recent one that we've probably dealt with was the AIDS epidemic mm-hmm. back in the late 80s. And they're not very kind to the Reagan administration for this. You know, Reagan was pretty, you know, his son was gay, and he was probably, because of his Hollywood connection, he was around many different types of people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that for all the other presidents, but Reagan is unique because of the industry that he came from.
Mm-hmm.
But they were basically saying about how dismissive, there was a writing about how dismissive his administration was, and there was a joke. I mean, you know, why are we admitting this? Snicker, snicker, snicker. Because do you have a concern? Do we need to know something about you? And how basically, Reagan could have nipped this quickly
mm-hmm.
by saying something to the effect, because he was a great communicator, saying that these were Americans.
Mm-hmm.
We don't allow Americans just to die, and we need to do something. And the funding actually was cut during that time. It still was a lot of money. I think they had over $100 million at one time, and it was cut down like to $89
million. Yeah.
But still, we were dealing with a plague. And then about how today they talked about some of the parents choosing not to immunize their children.
Mm-hmm.
So let me do this. Let's go ahead and give this quick plug right here. The flu shots are coming up. When you go get a flu shot, you're not getting it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting it for the people you come in contact with. You may be the strongest person ever. You may not get the flu.
Right.
It's for the people you come in contact with, because it has the ability to mm-hmm. be, you know, that type of pandemic.
A pandemic, like the avian flu that we went through a few years ago. The idea of herd immunity is a scientific fact. We have evidence that if enough people are immunized, then the rest of us will be fine.
Well, and that brings us back to a point, is that people choosing not to immunize their children, once again, are putting not necessarily themselves at risk, although they're at risk.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting the people they come in contact with at risk.
Right.
And that is kind of an interesting spot to be in. She writes this so beautifully,
nice.
In the sense that every chapter is a different type of, you know, event that ends up happening. She's witty. There's a wink going on with it because you're dealing with a subject that's kind of interesting, but, you know, something not that you would want to say, hey, let's talk about death.
Yeah, let's read a novel about it. Let's read a story about it.
But as
let's
always,
sing a song about it. Ring around the rosy. Oh.
As always, when we're dealing with stuff like this, we are only one generation or one year away from what potentially could be the next group of these type things. And we just need to be aware and be kind to our human companions. Take care of them.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. This sounds like a fun book. Again, it's called Get Well Soon, History's Worst Plagues and the Heroes Who Fought Them by Jennifer Wright. And you can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. And there's so much news out there and so many terrible things that are happening and so many wonderful things that are happening. Let's talk about some of them and let's not talk about others of them.
There's some good news for people who whose phone is coming up and they're looking to replace their phone.
Yeah, we've got the Samsung Galaxy Note 8 is coming out on September 15th. So those of you who are Samsung fans, you've got something to look forward to. The Note 8. My wife has a Note 5, and I think she's a little bit excited about getting a new phone.
These are going to go like hotcakes.
Oh, don't say hot. They might explode. No. Isn't it surprising to you that they went with the Note name, that the Note 7 was such a danger to society that they kept with that name?
It is interesting, but obviously people who like Samsung and the system they have will continue to enjoy this. Yeah. I think they're ready to move up. Now, for what's interesting about it is you have a Pixel. They're coming out with a Pixel 2 soon. So for a person who likes to work on the Android you know, situation, you've got the Samsung and Google competing with each other.
That's a very interesting situation that Google has put their partners into, where Google is presenting their own version of the device, which I enjoy. I love my Pixel. I am so glad that I picked that up. And it's in competition with these other things that are using Google's software.
And we're typically thinking of Google's Pixel, the Samsung Note, and the iPhone as the three premier phones. Not that the other ones are not great or anything like that, but what I'm saying is usually thinking of those as like the three top choices.
It's not HTC, I'll tell you that much. And the LG phone is doing okay, but those are definitely numbers one, two, and three right now.
Sure, sure.
So it's exciting for those of you who are looking to get the next generation of phones. Go out and get on the list.
So if you have your phone, you probably can use it to order something, Steve. Is there something we need to know about ordering things now?
I need to move to Iceland because in Iceland, I can order a hamburger and a beer and it can come to me via drone right now.
They're testing it out, aren't they?
I'm ready. I am ready for the beer drone to come fly over. I'll just hold a cup, and the drone can just...
In fact, it'll just be a drone. It'll be a keg. It just kind of arrives.
I'm ready. And just throw a hamburger at me, too.
Here, human. Eat this.
Here is your food for the day. Good luck.
Our houses become zoos. We're in a little cage. You're throwing us the food.
It's that time. Every day at about the same time, all the animals come out of their cages and stare up at the sky, hoping for more beer and hamburgers.
The hamburger arrives and Steve gobbles it down.
I'm excited, man. I am excited for all this stuff. I read so much science fiction. I am excited for the future of delivery. We've got Amazon bought Whole Foods. They lowered prices. Drones are going to be throwing us our snacks anytime now.
It's the good stuff, Steve.
I'm ready. Then we get to the sad stuff.
It's Labor Day weekend.
It's Labor Day weekend. And it's not going to be the same this year because, unfortunately, the king of Labor Day has passed away. Jerry Lewis passed away last week at age 91.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. That's fantastic. He was sick for so long, and he passed away last week. He left behind such a great variety of different he changed so many different industries.
Well, the Muscular Dystrophy Association and his Labor Day telethon, although it stopped, I don't know, 10 years ago or whenever it did. And it, you know, that is probably how I know Jerry Lewis, because we would watch it as kids. Mm-hmm. That was pretty much what was on. During Labor Day weekend.
There were four channels, kids. Let me explain to you how TV works. There are four channels, and you get a choice of one of those four. And if the president's on, you go read a book.
Well, regardless, that's how I was introduced. Now, if you're an older person, maybe my parents' generation,
right,
or grandparents' generation, they may have been introduced to him through either shows or through movies.
Yeah, he was a part of the Rat Pack. He was running with all those guys, making all those fun, interesting comedy movies. Jerry Lewis was a clown in a group of people who were very stoic. If you think of Martin and Lewis, Dean Martin is this stoic character. Then you throw in a Frank Sinatra on top of that, and Jerry Lewis is the clown. He's the silly guy in the group, and very entertaining.
Well, I'm sorry to see that he left us.
Yeah.
But Turner Classic Movies is going to be showing his films
on Labor Day.
All day. So Labor Day will continue to be a Jerry Lewis Day. In fact, I anticipate this being, for our lifetime, somewhere they're going to be having some kind of Jerry Lewis celebration on Labor Day.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. We can all hope that there will be a celebration of our lives after we pass away. And Jerry Lewis is a guy that we celebrate, especially in France.
That's right.
He's big in France.
Well, as we know, as he used to end his telethon, you'll never walk alone, Steve.
Never walk alone. Thank you, Jerry Lewis, for all of the things that you've done for us.
So we wish anybody listening, we wish you a very safe Labor Day. I hope you enjoy your time.
Yeah. Eat some hamburgers from the sky. Drink some beer. Watch some Jerry Lewis movies. Hey, lady! You'll be just fine.
And hit the pool for the last time.
Forget about the pandemics for a while. You'll be just fine. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week,
hey,
Steve.
Lady! If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, News.TooMuchScrolling.com. Find all the information that you need. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We'll see you in the future. You'll never